When I first talked to you, you asked about materials related to the civil unrest in Milwaukee in 1967. And I kind of looked in our collections for that, and I didn't find anything. And I started thinking about why that would be. And I think it's partly because what do you collect? You know, there's not like the first invention or the thing that the person carried. And I think it may be beyond that. It's, you know, whenever there's kind of a riot, it's a sign of failure across the board. Failure of communication, failure of problem resolution, failure of sympathy, failure of, you know. So nobody's proud of it, really. And there are very few museums I'm aware of that actually have collected artifacts related to those kinds of disturbances. These events aren't single incidents. They have roots, they have precursors, they have long-range effects, and it's not just that one night or that 3 days when stuff happened. And that's kind of what the objects that we have in the collection here represent.
One of the objects you have here is a Milwaukee NAACP Youth Council shirt, and it's how small the shirt is.
If you look at photographs from that time period, these shirts are everywhere. You can't see a photograph of any of these marchers without two or three of these somewhere in the crowd. I think part of it is identifying yourselves to the world. I think part of it is identifying yourselves to each other. So if you're in a crowd of people and there's confusion and there's kind of pushing and shoving and ruckus, you know, don't necessarily know who your friends are, you know, who your people are. You know, and you might look at skin color, but, you know, in a case where there's kind of a mixed race, you know, who's the good guy? You know, who do you kind of run towards? Who do you run away from? And shirts can help you with that. They can also make you feel stronger. If you look out and you see 50 or 100 people wearing the same shirt as you, it kind of makes you feel more confident. And even if it's a scary situation, you know, it makes you maybe feel like it's worth the risk because I know that there are other people with me.
What do we know about Lee McGee?
He was an active participant and I think possibly a officer president of the Youth Council at a certain point. I think at this era, at least the photographs I've seen of him, he looks like he's 16, 17. So I don't know if he was president at this time, but he was very active in the Youth Council. And he wore this. There's a tear in one shoulder. There's kind of some faint brownish stains on one edge that could be blood from the sort of rocks and bottles being thrown on the various scuffles and violence that happened when they were crossing the bridge. I've never seen the backside in the photographs.
I had no idea this was on the backside.
Me neither. Until I saw the shirt, I turned it over, and it says Black Power on the back. And in all the photographs I've seen of the shirts, it's always from the front. So I was kind of surprised and impressed of this, partly because, you know, I guess at this period you couldn't sort of, you know, the idea of sort of go slow was kind of proved wrong by that point. But I don't usually associate the NAACP with the slogan Black Power to me.
And to see it on the back, I've got my back to you. It just adds more power, mm-hmm. not only to the object, but the person wearing the object. This was not a large person. This is somebody who should have been enjoying life and having fun and running around and doing things that 15, 16-year-old boys do. But yet, you're in the street fighting for your civil rights, mm-hmm. hoping for a future that, based on history, it's hard to imagine.
Yeah, and I think that's the imagination part of it. You know, I think many people found history the most boring thing they took in school. You know, that it was all about dates and facts and figures and, you know, kind of stuff that doesn't matter for reasons that have nothing to do with your life or experience. And I think in some ways, you know, history is really about people figuring out how to live in the world. And that's relevant to everybody. And in museums, what we can try and do is collect objects that sort of raise those questions about how was it at that time? Is it different from now? How would I have behaved back then? You know, is it easy for me to understand what was going on there, or is that a completely different kind of world that people lived and cope with? You know, I think these are all really, you know, to get a little philosophical here, these are all questions about sort of the human condition and what it means to be a human and to, like, live in the world. And, you know, if we can somehow frame these things, start the conversations, you know, I think the objects can lead to some very interesting, important discussions.